Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. How you doing, Brad?
Oh, we're doing great, Scott. It's good to be back.
It is back. After NAB 2006, the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD XDV, the software to have to convert MPEG 2 content off a DVD into Final Cut, Final Cut Express, iMovie, you name it. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get upgrades for your PowerBook, your Power Mac, Super Drives, extra fast, cool stuff. Check them out, MCETech.com. Our creative partners, Creative Pro at CreativePro.com. Printing for Less, the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program. Popular Photography Magazine and Imaging, and of course, American Photo. You can check them out at popphoto.com or americanphoto.com. Mac Update, the place for software updates at macupdate.com. And the Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web. Cool stuff.
Very cool stuff.
So how you doing, Brad?
Oh, we're doing great, man. Boy, it's good to be out of Vegas. That is a non-smoke-free zone.
it's nasty, you know?
It's just nasty. It's concrete. It looks great in the nighttime, but when you're out in the daytime, it's just nothing but desert, rock, hills, and just, you know, sun beating down. And
yeah, there's certain parts that are nice when you get out of city limits and you can enjoy the natural desert landscape.
Yes. Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, it's pretty brutal. We were there for like, I don't know.
We were a whole week.
10 days.
Yeah, it was long. It felt too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. We saw some great stuff over at NAB.
Yeah, we did. We did the actual podcasting summit for the National Association of Broadcasters.
Yes.
We rocked that gig.
Oh, we did rock that gig. We're the biggest gig in that entire post-production conference.
Out of everything, series. The biggest conference NAB's ever had. The
oh,
most
was
attendees
it really?
Ever. Yes, for any conference. You know, when it comes to room size. You know, some of our stuff, we had lows of maybe around 200.
Yeah.
But we had highs of 500 plus.
Yeah.
Depending on the session. So I think it went pretty well. The feedback's been great so far.
Yeah, it was great. It was really, we're getting some good feedback on it.
Oh, great. I've been getting tons of feedback.
Oh, wow. That's
we're
good.
We're still waiting for our official tallied feedback from our friends over at NAB on the eval forms. But, you know, everybody doesn't fill those things out, and it's hard to get them to turn them in. But the feedback that, you know, I've collected and been emailed and called on,
it's been really good.
It looks cool, yeah. So we'll see how that deal goes. And, you know, it was pretty cool. We did a bunch of stuff. We did the NAB Live 2006 podcast.
Yes.
For the National Association of Broadcasters.
Oh, boy, did we. But we ever. We did those. Those were daily.
We have one left to finish. That's a special one we have from our friends at Reflect Media.
That's
we're
a cool
send
one.
Out. That's going to be very cool, and Brad's going to put some special touches on it. We're going to show you the coolest chroma key gig going.
I totally think it is. I think it's, if you haven't checked out Reflect Media, go check it out if you're into chroma keying or anything like that. It's a nice, nice set of tools for doing that kind of thing.
It's pretty fun stuff. So we're going to show that. And then I think total we had, I think by the time we have, like I said, one more to push out.
Mm-hmm.
But total all in all for NAB, we put up 22 videos. You know, the summaries every day from NAB we did with those guys. So they had stuff on there with the winners from like Ted Koppel and those guys and Regis Philbin and Charlie Gibson and all that stuff was up there.
Yes.
And then all the stuff we did with Thompson Grass Valley, with Avid, with Apple, with DigiDesign. We had a couple from Panasonic, JVC. We had some cool gigs.
It was we saw a lot of stuff. I think the coolest one was the one that we shot and then you edited together was the remote news gear where you just, you know, we saw that, you know, all of the just outrageous stuff that those Anderson Mobile States that have like 1,200 square feet and they go up to three levels.
18-wheeler, 750K for an empty trailer.
Yeah, there's guys like Will Smith and Robert De Niro have bought things, and
they've
Even the movie stars are now using those. If they go on to a movie, like I think they're paying for one for Tobey Maguire, the new Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, how's that?
They're
for
using
a
one
gig?
Of those. Yeah, I mean he's got like a $50 million paycheck, so a few bucks is, you know.
Yeah, what's a million and a half for a cool trailer? I'd buy one in a heartbeat. If I had the cash, brother, I would be on that deal tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
you would see the Inside Media Network's mobile rig like you had never seen.
Yes,
brand new 379 long nose Pete with that bad boy. Ooh, mighty cool. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Philip Hodges and some Digital Production Buzz news. We got some great guests lined today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat. You can check them out at www.micromat.com. So right now we're trying to get our next guest on the line, Philip Hodges, the digital production Buzzmeister. Must be off Buzzmeistering somewhere.
Yeah, he had too much buzz last night maybe, and that's why he's not on the show yet. He hasn't woken up yet.
Yeah. Who knows? I know he was really busy at NAB. We actually did a combined radio program with them and the digital production Buzz. We did an hour and a half every day, so 6 hours of audio through NAB.
Oh, that was...
That I hadn't even posted on the Inside Mac feed yet.
I think because we had so much slamming amounts of content just coming down the wire that people were probably not even getting all of it. Because
21, 22 videos and, you know,
that's
6 hours of audio I haven't even posted yet. and also, this last week, there was the Epson Print Academy at the Nikkei Hotel here in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
So we went down there and actually I got 19... packages ready to go, or not yet, but they're going to be Inside Mac TV or the Inside Mac television program daily. We'll have plenty of content coming. So,
don't know what the Epson Print Academy is, it's basically, a lot of high end photographers and a lot of high end printers all coming together.
Yeah. I mean, we had Greg Gorman, the guy that does all the photography for all the, Hollywood people, and John Paul Caponegro, that his father was actually part of the original Ansel Adams team. And Vincent Versace and Jeff Seawey and, just Bruce Frazier, the color guru, and Burt Monroy was there and a bunch of vendors.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of great stuff. So those will actually start showing up very soon. You'll have plenty by the time you hear this, Dig. So it's all cool. But right now we have Philip Hodges, the digital production Buzzmeister. How are we doing, Philip?
I'm fine, Scott. How are you?
Good. So what's happening in the world of post, pre, and afterwards distribution production?
Well, everybody's recovering from NAB, of course.
Yeah, that was a wild gig, man.
It was. It was a lot of work, and it was a lot of fun. And it was an interesting show because there wasn't anything big from Apple. And because there wasn't anything big announcement, and there were no big announcements from Apple, the perception was that it was a fairly dull show. But it wasn't really. It was really quite an excellent show.
Oh.
A lot of buzz around the red camera, of course, and they sold hundreds and hundreds with a $1,000 deposit.
They pulled some jack out of that gig.
They sure did.
Yeah, that was big. I mean, there was other big announcements, too. I mean, we had the brand new Infinity camera from Grass Valley that's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Beautiful camera. And then there was add-ons. If you have yourself a $500,000 Viper, you can buy digital cartridges now to record your media.
I thought the coolest thing was the Panavision camera at the Avid booth.
Ooh.
That was nuts. That just had a lens on it the size of like a, it was like 2 feet in diameter, the lens.
That lens was like more than 100 grand.
Oh, yeah, it had to be. It's. I guess that's the one thing about it is that, I guess that camera is supposed to be 10K or something. I don't know if I have that right, but it's...
Red is going to come in at about 17 and a half, which is about one-tenth of what a Viper would cost you. You can't even buy it. You have to rent it. So it's a different paradigm, but they weren't the only people. There was Silicon Imaging on the floor. We interviewed them on the Digital Production Buzz Show. They have a 2K camera at under $30,000 that they're developing, straight to hard drive. A lot of action in the area of non-tape workflow. It's not there yet. but we're starting to see a whole lot of stuff there. I was very impressed with Sony's XDCam HD and the second generation, although they use tape, the second generation of JVC's HDV camcorders, which claim a significantly improved MPEG-2 encoder. And that MPEG-2 encoder is the crucial thing in HDV. It's like the first generation of DV encoders in like the VX1000, very average encoder, so the pictures look very average. But the area where people have a huge opportunity to improve their quality without breaking the spec is to improve their MPEG-2 encoder. And the better encoder that goes in there, the better the MPEG-2 for HDV will be. And JVC were claiming that their new one was twice as good as the encoder that they put in the GY100U.
Wow, that's really quite nice. I mean, it's just better at like filtering out macro blocks and things that you would see or digital artifacts.
And better tracking motion. I mean, because you know, unlike all iframe stuff like DV, what MPEG-2 does is it actually looks at where the objects are in the image and tracks those throughout the image. So when you get very fast-moving images or where you get fast elements or the whole image changes very rapidly, it can't track those accurately enough, and that's where a better encoder will give you a better job overall.
Yeah, I think that they are also, they also have an advantage over many other cameras because they are true 24p, and so they have a reduced frame rate. But they're also delivering a 60p option so that they can do some things like almost like Vericam.
The trouble with their 24p option is that they then reduce the data rate. Instead of using the full 25 megabits a second that's available for 1080, they reduce that to 19 megabits per second, the same as the ATSC broadcast system uses. So you do get lower frame rate, but you get a lower data rate. And I never did quite understand why you wouldn't use the full 25 megabits.
Yeah.
But then I'm not the head of a big company, so what would I know?
Yeah, I think they need to push it up to 50 or 100 or beyond, and then it's just going to be just even more, you know, cleaner, smoother imaging. It's going to be really
nice. Well,
that's
what XDCam HD does. It takes that same long group of picture MPEG-2 and pushes it up to 35 megabits per second. And at 25, it actually makes a fully compatible fully compatible HDV stream, but you can go up to 35 megabits per second. And although it doesn't seem like a lot, that extra difference would make a huge difference to the image quality.
Yes. One of the other things that it's available on XDCam, which is really interesting, is that it has an Ethernet port so that when you plug the camera in, it acts actually like a server.
Yep. And Apple and Sony are working on an import component for Final Cut Pro that will be released, quote, in a few weeks, unquote. It will allow you to bring proxies in and work directly with those files in Final Cut. And in the meantime, Flip for Mac have upgraded their XDCam import component to handle the new camera. But I think we should have a moment of silence because bad news yesterday, SGI, the once mighty Silicon Graphics, the Google of the 1990s, the company that you would die to work for, have gone into Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection.
Yeah.
No big, I mean, it's not going to affect anybody. The main software that ran on it was Autodesk's discrete products, and they have all ported to Linux. There wasn't a single SGI machine in Autodesk's booth at NAB this year. It was all HP and IBM workstations. But it's still sad to note the passing of a giant. I mean, they claim that they will come back out of the bankruptcy stronger and better than ever, and we only hope that they do, but the chances are not really good.
Now, who needs them? Adios.
Well, these days, no, that's exactly right. We don't. We've got much more powerful workstations in the general class. Core Duo Max and whatever's going to come. Core Duo Extreme coming up at the end of the year that Intel are going to call their next release.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, there's been some great reviews, too, here lately with the MacBook Pro. They're saying that a MacBook Pro 2.1 gigahertz machine is faster doing Final Cut and Motion than a 2.7 dual processor G5.
I was doing all my editing. I mean, I have a 2.7 and I have a MacBook Pro 2.1. And when we were cutting a lot of this video at NAB, I did not miss my G5 one bit. I mean, it's just the MacBook Pro is just a fantastic experience. I mean, it didn't seem slow at all.
And I have an old 1.5 G4 and I haven't missed my MacBook Pro or my G5 yet. But I'm waiting to find out, brother.
I'm buying in the next couple of weeks, so, you know, that's going to be my purchase.
Yeah, me too. I need to break down and step up. Hey, Philip, thank you so much. You can check out the Digital Production Buzz Thursdays evening, 6 to 7 p.m. live on the web at www.digitalproductionbuzz.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you have content you've created on a DVD and now you need to pull it off and reuse it or who knows what, check them out at www.dvdxdv.com, the software to have if you want to take MPEG-2 content and bring it into another application. Cool stuff, works with Final Cut, Final Cut Express, Avid, Nitrous, DS Systems, Interplay, you name it, whatever you got, it'll work. Check them out, dvdxdv.com. Right now we're here with Andy Shallett with the Mac Design Out of the Box Tip of the Week. How are we doing, Andrew?
Great. Welcome back from NAB.
Thank you.
You look great on your video podcast.
Oh, why, thank you so much.
Yeah, you got to see Scott in a suit. It was he was styling, man.
Exactly. Scott in a suit. It was very impressive.
Yeah, that suit cost more than the camera.
Not that big high-end DV camera. But anyway, this week, guys, I've been playing with iPhoto again, trying to eke out every bit of juice that we can from that little thing. And I realized that it's missing something. And you might be interested in this, Brad. It's missing titling. When you're doing a slideshow, you really don't get to make titles.
Yeah.
And so I figured, here's a very simple way to do it, because I'm going to say that, yes, everybody has Photoshop or something like Photoshop, Photoshop Elements or Photoshop. If when you're making a slideshow and you just want to go, as I do, sometimes forget about the iMovie, I just go right, cut right to the chase and go right from iPhoto, to iDVD to burn it, you know, to make a presentation. I want titling on the slideshow. What I will do is I'll go into the iPhoto preferences, and rather than have it when I double-click on the image to edit it, rather than go directly into iPhoto, I change the application. I guess not many people take advantage of this, because you can say to iPhoto, when I edit my photos, I want to go into Photoshop because I have a lot more power there. And so if I bring them into Photoshop, then I can drop in a duplicate. I can make a duplicate of the image, drop in a title over something, and then it's sort of, when I do the transition back in the slideshow, it seems to come in and fade out.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
It's a little poor man's titling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when you export, there are two ways to export to iDVD from iPhoto, and one is you make it a slideshow, where you just have your slides, and you make a new slideshow, and you just have access to all your iPhoto images, but there you'll find your duplicated image with the slide in there, and you place that thing into your slideshow, and depending on your transition, it will show your title.
Yeah, it'll crossfade the title in and crossfade it out even.
Yeah, and people can't figure out how you did that, you know? It's a pretty simple little trick. The thing about it is that you can't really... Well, you have to do that also if you're going to make a regular... if you want it to be full screen, I should say, in iDVD, then what you do is you make the slideshow with all the music and everything, and it becomes, when you export to iDVD, it becomes a full-on movie, and then it just opens up, and that's full screen in iDVD. Make sense?
Yeah.
That is a great tip.
Yeah.
So that's a cool thing. Also, I just wanted to let people know about my website again. I've conned the Peach Pit people into giving us a little discount. So if they want to get a discount on my book, you click onto my site and you'll find a little discount code.
Wow! Amazing.
Well,
like squeezing blood out of a turnip, brother. How'd you do that one?
I try to amaze you guys at every turn.
You do. I just can't believe it. And we also hear that Andy's working on a new project that we can't talk about yet, but there's going to be some
That's
more stuff
right.
coming
another,
down the
Another publisher. I'm working with another author, Jolie Ballou, who is a more of a PC person, but I guess they needed a Mac expert. They brought me on, and we're doing a bunch of Mac projects. And it's going to be out in January, and we'll probably introduce it at Macworld. 24 projects, easy-to-do projects on your Mac. Not just with what comes with your Mac, but simple projects to get things done, task-oriented.
Dude, you rock. How cool. Check it out, andrewshallett.com. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
There we go, Andy Shallett, Mac design out-of-the-box author for the Inside Mac Press. Like you said, check him out, andrewshallett.com, or you can go to www.insidemacradio.com. Links on the right-hand side of the page of both those books. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
To coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. Do you want to upgrade your PowerBook, your G5, your G4 to a 16X, 8X dual layer super drive? Do you need memory? Do you need to buy a new PowerBook? These cats can hook you up with everything brand new 17-inch MacBook Pro, fully stuffed, ready to go with a smoking deal. Check them out, mcetech.com. So, a couple things we want to talk about here. We got a few minutes.
Yes.
Sam Levin's going to join us here later.
Second hour.
So I want to talk about a couple things in the news that Apple whooped Apple.
Yeah, and you know, that means that really effectively there is justice in the world. I mean, I have to say it. It's like there is just no reason that one company called Apple Computer and Apple Core would be infringing. By some way, Apple Computer going in selling iTunes would be any infringement on Apple Core, the Beatles company.
No, so here's a little story. It's basically Apple Computer has won its lawsuit filed against Apple Corps of the Beatles fame. Report, and this is coming from Reuters. The Apple Corps originally filed the lawsuit saying that Apple Computer violated a 1991 trademark agreement by getting into the music business. Apple Computer argued in court hearings in London earlier this year that iTunes was primarily a data transmission service, that it is.
Yes.
Right? Because, I mean, it doesn't make music. It's just a way to transmit data.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're not coming out with Steve Jobs' greatest hits or anything like
right.
that. Right, you know.
Which is permitted by the agreement, notes the story. The 1991 out-of-the-court settlement, which included a $26 million payment by Apple Computer to Apple Corps, set out areas in which each party would have exclusive use of the respective fruit-shaped logos. And the judge said, I find no breach of the trademark agreement that has been demonstrated, and this is from Mr. Justice Mann, said in his judgment.
Yes.
So some English attorney dude with a wig on said,
"Oh, not just that was
I want to say it, but I'm not. Yeah. I can't." But I said basically the action therefore fails. So
yes.
Basically,
Apple countersued and tried to collect legal fees for this, like $1.9 million in legal fees.
And then Reuters updated the deal that says, "We're glad." And this is a quote from Mr. Stephen P. Jobs, that we're glad to put this disagreement behind us. Said Steve Jobs, "We've always loved the Beatles, and hopefully we can now work together to get them on the iTunes Music Store." Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they can collect some of all the money
McCartney
they spent suing the company. You know?
Oh, they got so much money, don't matter anyway. But, you know, look who owns all the Beatles stuff.
Michael Jackson?
Yeah. So they just hook a deal up with Michael. They could sell the sheet music, I guess, but that's it.
Yeah, I don't know what assets they own anymore. It sounds like it's fully diversified.
And I heard, too, because of the European Union and the fair use deal, that Michael Jackson's rights of the actual songs are going to go, like, to the public in a few more years. So there was a rumor going around that Paul McCartney had the option to buy the stuff back from Michael Jackson. Was basically, no way, brother.
Yeah.
This stuff's going to go public in a few years because it's basically
you can't extend
50 years.
Yeah, you can't extend the rights.
I think it's 50
it.
Years in the EU in regards to that stuff. So basically the Beatles started publishing stuff, what, 55, 56?
No, that was about 64. So you're talking, you still got a little bit more time.
Yeah, but it's not worth him to pay $10 million or $100 million to buy his own stuff back.
For 10 more years of revenue that you're going to collect on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you get to the point, I guess you're so rich that, I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's just silly to be suing over such a ridiculous, like, agreement
yeah.
and I just It's just not the way to handle things. Just go out and make money. That's the way to do it.
More of the story. It says that Apple Corp has said there's been no decision has been made to when the Beatles songs might be available for purchase online, Neutz Reuters. In addition, Apple Corp said it would appeal the decision, and Apple Computer has been awarded court costs.
So oh, they did get it.
They got the court cost deal, and basically Apple Corp has brought this to a higher level in the UK, whatever their higher level court is, but they've appealed the decision. So, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know how that system works in the UK, if it's just as easy, but I hope that this goes in Apple's favor, Apple Computer.
Yeah.
It's just a ridiculous agreement, you know, ridiculous suit.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, the deal with Pixar went through. We can talk about that later.
Yeah.
But now it's all Disney, and Disney's at a 52-week high right now.
I think you have a lot of Disney stock, don't you, now?
I do. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back. Derek Story talking about Aperture 1.1.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine and, of course, American Photo, the leaders in photography magazines. You name it. These guys rock the world. Check them out at popphoto.com and americanphoto.com. Also, they got a cool podcast that, by the way, is produced by Inside Media Networks, and you can check them out at American Photo. Just go to iTunes and look for American Photo, and you can listen to Jada 4 talking about cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very short, sweet. You know, they do one a month or a couple a month. You know, they're 5 or 6 minutes, but they have some interesting stuff. And, you know, Jada 4's rocking the world over at American Photo. So check that out, brother, AmericanPhoto.com. Right now we're here with Derek Story. Derek is a author. He does a podcast called The Digital Story, also produced by Inside Media Networks. And
taking over the world. Oh my God.
World domination.
And Derek's joining us today to talk about the brand new Aperture 1 dot or 1 point or 1.1. How are we doing, Derek?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Cool,
hey, actually, man. Now, as of I think a couple days ago, it's 1.1.1.
Ooh, I love it when it's 1.1.1.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just keep going 1.1.1.1.1.
No, that's right. So, you know, this, oops, we forgot that. We got to do another 0.1 here.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, the more ones you add onto a release, the more stable it gets.
There
the
you
more
go.
Zeros, the least less stable it gets.
There you go. Well, the big news with Aperture 1.1, before they did the thing, was they dropped the price to $299.
That's a wild deal there, and they actually gave rebates to everybody that bought it.
Yeah, you know, and I was really happy to see them do that. I mean, that was really the right thing, you know, not to punish the early adopters. So, you get a $200 store credit, and if you bought it through the educational program, you get a $100 store credit. So, pretty cool stuff, and actually brings the application, I think, right about where it should have been priced in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool piece of software. Now, here's a question for you, Derek. Are you like myself and on a little G4 laptop, or have you made the conversion to the MacBook Pro?
You know what? I was just checking my FedEx shipping
notice. Oh, you're on the FedEx watch. Ah!
I got
every 10 minutes hitting the refresh.
I got a 17-inch MacBook Pro that just hit Northern California a couple hours ago.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if you could just track it mile by mile as the truck is going down the road?
Google Earth, dude. Where's my MacBook?
Yeah, hey, guys, I'll just come pick it up. No bother. Don't put it on the truck.
So I think Aperture is going to rock here in the MacBook Pro, huh?
Yeah, that's my thinking. You know, I've been using it on a late version G4, and it does pretty well all the way into image editing. It bogs down a little bit there.
with the digital Rebel files, which are only 8 megapixel, it scoots along real nicely. If I start putting those big Canon 5D RAW files in there, just kind of, and that's what I need the MacBook Pro for.
Well, if you can afford a Canon 5D, then you should definitely be able to afford a MacBook Pro.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know what, it's just money, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful camera.
Yeah, it is. It's really fabulous. And so, you know, I think they were really thinking MacBook Pro with the 1.1 version. And so, you know, I'm going to give it a spin. Some of my buddies that are using the 15-inch MacBook Pro with the latest version of Aperture seem real happy with it.
That's cool.
Now, the other thing that they did, too, was they got a little bit of flack on the 1.0 version about some of the RAW conversions from certain cameras, and they really got serious about going back and looking at all of those. And so now in the 1.1 version, RAW conversions are... Everything that I've tried so far has just looked fabulous.
Ah,
so
that's great.
They really tightened that up a lot. And they're going to keep working on it. I mean, that's a moving target. I mean, you know, Adobe just did Adobe Camera Raw 3.4, I think. They just announced that yesterday with, you know, like 30 new cameras. I mean, you know, these guys got to work constantly to keep up with what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's and how do you think now that Aperture compares to Lightroom? Lightroom previewed Beta 3 at the Epson Print Academy this last weekend at in San Francisco. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you know, Lightroom is going to be fabulous. It's already, you know, taking shape very nicely, and I work in both because
really,
yeah, I do. I think mainly because, you know, I'm a technologist, and I write about this stuff, so I sort of have to stay up because I get asked this question all the time.
Well, if you were doing a professional job, when would you use Lightroom, and when would you use Aperture?
Well, I really like Lightroom for when I have just a lot of shots, like, for instance, a wedding, you know, where you go out and you're just going boom, 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 boom all day, and you get back to the studio, and you got hundreds of shots. At the moment, Aperture really, really rocks with that. And, you know, you can just sort them out and get to your picks a lot faster. What I like Lightroom is when I want to do something and I want to use the camera raw controls that I sort of got used to using Photoshop, because those are built right into Lightroom. And if I want sort of those comfy camera, you know, Adobe Camera Raw feeling and controls, then, you know, that's when I really like Lightroom.
Now, Derek, do you think that, let's say someone's shooting photos and they have somewhat of a grip and the stuff's not all mangled and the white balance is correct and they know how to set the f-stop, the aperture, everything's good, and you're actually shooting good photo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you even need Photoshop? Can I do everything I need to do adjustment-wise in Aperture and send the stuff out ready to go to print or whatever I'm going to do with it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in my studio, I have a Epson R2400, which is, you know, a pretty decent printer, especially good for black and white. And I hardly shoot anything into Photoshop before I output it. You know, unless the only time I ever need to go into Photoshop anymore is if I have to do, you know, any sort of layering or masking or, you know, work on a specific area. But if I have, you know, good stuff, like, for instance, in a wedding, I don't want to spend a lot of time retouching because I got so many shots. I'm just shooting it right through Aperture, uploading it to the web out of Aperture, sending it to print out of Aperture, and then, you know, go have a Coca-Cola.
So for the high volume, you'd say that, so the high volume type of jobs where you want to move, get them in and out very, very quickly, Aperture is much stronger. But for the kind of touchy-feely, you want to tweak it more in Photoshop, Lightroom has more of an advantage that way? Is that?
Well, I think Lightroom has those controls that photographers are used to that have been using Photoshop because they built Camera Raw right into it, whereas the Raw adjustments in Aperture are a little bit different, and, you know, they take a little bit more getting used to it. Personally, I like them both, but there are certain things that I really like. You know, when I'm working with RAW files, sometimes the Camera Raw controls are very nice because you know exactly what they're going to do, you know. And so in that case, I think Lightroom is great, but You're right. High volume, right now, I really lean toward Aputure.
Now, here's a question. I haven't looked yet, but I know with the new version of Aputure 1.1.1, they added some more formats available in the RAW format because, you know, I happen to shoot with a Sigma SD10 that uses a...
Right.
You know, an interesting proprietary RAW format, or more proprietary than anybody else.
Yeah.
And I know Lightroom supports it because it supports all the plugins that Adobe does, but I don't think Aputure does yet. I could be wrong, but...
And I think you just really cited another edge that Lightroom is going to have over Aputure, at least for the time being, is that since it's using the camera RAW technology that Adobe has, so then any camera that works with Adobe Camera RAW is going to work with Lightroom. So you're going to have a lot more cameras that you can adjust RAW files with in Lightroom in the beginning than you can with Aputure. So there's another area where I think Lightroom gets the edge.
Yeah, at least for, you know, people that are using goofball formats like me.
It's time to go Nikon or Canon.
Well, no, I particularly like it because it's just, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's a great camera. You get a Foveon sensor in there.
Yeah, and I hear there's more stuff coming down the track.
Yeah, no, you're just ahead of us, Scott. That's all.
Well, I'm looking for that natural true color reproduction with a three-layer chip. It's like shooting digital video with a single chip camera.
That's right.
But then look at the new Red camera coming out that's a 2,000 pixel resolution video camera.
Oh, it's
and
more
it's
than
using a Bauer sensor, right? It's using a sensor like a Canon
CMOS sensor.
Yeah,
it's a CMOS single sensor. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a $20,000 video camera without a piece of glass that's using the same sensor as a digital camera. And it's not three chips. I don't know. There's a whole deal between that whole Foveon gig and I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Too much to talk about right now. We got 30 seconds left. Derek, how do we find out more information about your books, your podcasts, the stuff about Aputure? You're doing some stuff with Scott Bourne. What's up?
Well, I'd say the main thing is, check out those Digital Story, thedigitalstory.com podcast. We have a lot of fun and just talk photography every week in, week out.
Crazy stuff there. Like he said, Derek Story, the man. Check it out at The Digital Story, thedigitalstory.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you want to find out the coolest tips for creative professionals, Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, anything on your Mac that's creative, check them out, creativepro.com. So we were talking earlier about, the Beatle gig.
Yeah.
That's cool. Talking with Derek, Adobe's released Camera Raw 3.4 now.
Uh-huh.
So there's a little update for all you guys doing photography that are looking at, digital photography. Boom. New version of Camera Raw.
Well, of course, iTunes now has some new shows.
Fox, dude. 24.
Yeah. Yeah.
24.
That's a fantastic show. I mean, I'm so busy that I never even have time to watch television. So the only television I'm probably going to watch is through iTunes.
Well, I mean, really, I mean, look at this. Fox with their classic TV shows, they have Lost in Space season one from like what? What is it? 65.
Yeah.
When this came out. They have 30 episodes. It's like $49 to buy the whole season.
Well, there was only like three seasons of Lost in Space.
I think so.
Total.
I'm sure you'll see more, but they have Lost in Space. They have Firefly that I never even watched that or know what that gig is, but they have Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's a good show.
With the announcements done by Art Morrison, our vice president of creative.
Ah.
For Inside Media Networks. He did all the stuff for Buffy, all the television promos.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Buffy's on and we have Prison Break now.
You can be in, yeah.
Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Stacked, whatever that gig is. Oh, that's for Pamela Anderson. Stacked. Whoa.
How did they think of that title?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
Racked,
I don't know what
stacked.
they were thinking on that one.
No, but it's cool. I mean, 24 is the big gig, though. I mean, they have season 5 available now, and the thing's $41.79, however they came up with that deal. Must have been some bean counter over Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, I know some bean counters at Fox. and they count beans. But, you know, it's cool, though. You get 21 episodes for $40, so you're talking, it's still $1.99 a gig.
Yeah, but it's probably, it's cheaper and more immediate than waiting for the season, you know, this particular season to come out on DVD.
Well, you got
to
wait for it on DVD.
Yeah.
Then you got to use an illegal piece of software to rip the DVD.
Oh, to get it, yeah, to get it back on your iPod. Exactly.
Even though you own the CD, you still have to break the encryption code. That's not cool, but it's, it isn't cool. You know what I'm saying? It's
I think
it's not cool
like,
for the consumer.
I think, you know, it's you really just want to get it right away. I mean, convenience, I think, wins over almost every other, you know, every other factor. Convenience is really the primary thing.
I haven't bought a TV show from iTunes. Maybe I did a sample thing Apple gave me from Desperate. I don't know. Oh, we got those cards before, but they expired.
Oh.
Apple gave away some press little media things that were like, here, get a free sample of Desperate Housewives. And I put them somewhere and forgot about them. Then I went to use them and they expired like 3 days earlier. But I think the quality on these streams are big enough that you could actually watch them on front row on an NTSC television and not tell that it's been a download.
Yeah, I think it's as great as that. You just basically, if you're just running around like, and you don't get a lot of sleep per night, and you're just completely busy all the time, you know, you can just download this to your iPod, play it back on your laptop. Anytime that you have a free moment, you can just catch up. And I think that's better than trying to find the time to block off to get to the television to see it, or even just to get to your TiVo. I mean, I think it's a great. Great way as your life becomes more and more busy and more hectic to just stay in touch with what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, you get on a plane and you're going out to some place, you can just basically pop in the shows and get all caught up.
Yeah, it's definitely cool because, like you said, it's a matter of time to be able to watch stuff. I mean, personally, I have not turned on a television set to watch anything in months.
Yes.
Months.
That's it. That's,
you know,
that's
I've been places where a TV's been running, but I have not actually sat down to grab my attention more than like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Not even the news. Yeah. I don't care, man. I got too much work to do. Got to get back to Final Cut or Peak or Pro Tools or something.
Yeah.
You know, just endless whatever. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. We're talking all things Mac today. Next up, we have Little Sammy Levin. He's going to be calling in about his cool Mac picks. We have Greg Benson from Mediocre Films. He's going to give us a little insight on if you want to do your own short film, what you need to do, come up with some cool stuff there. And then we're going to have the legendary Deke McClellan talking about Deke Pod. So you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program. We'll be back after this short commercial break. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. And we've had a cool show so far today.
Oh, yes.
We had Derek Story on talking about Aperture and Lightroom and cool things and MacBook Pros and yummies like that. We had Philip Hodges on giving us a little wrap-up of NAB 2006 from his perspective. We had Andy Shalalon with a cool tip, the author of Mac Design Out of the Box. And we have more cool stuff lined up. We have Little Sammy Levin calling in here later. Talking about cool Mac stuff. And then we're going to have Greg Benson on from Mediocre Films talking about you know, what you need to do to start writing a script or how to get your thoughts together to make your own little short. And he's the king of shorts.
Oh, he really is. I mean, he cranks this stuff out so many. I mean, just so many great little short films. I don't know if he's done like 40 or something.
Even so much that Fox hired him to do some little shorts for them.
Yeah.
So now he's like, you know, rolling in the big time.
Yeah, he'll have to tell us more about it. He's a pretty amazing guy.
It was great. We had him on last time. He just talked about his dinner deal. But I think today we're going to get into a little bit more a little more detail about what you need to do if you want to make a short, because, you know, you can buy a video camera now, or even...
Well, just about anybody can really, if you want to make, I mean, it used to be like, you know, huge area to bench, buried entry to get into to making videos, but now
$300 and you got iMovie free.
Yeah, anybody.
You know?
Yeah, anybody can do it. I mean, it's just, you know, got to know the techniques, and really it's, you know, really about how do you, you know, what, how, getting your production values down, getting your lighting down, and you can too, you can get out there and start making videos.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. So we're going to talk to Greg about that. And later in the hour, we're going to have legendary graphics training guru, Geek McClellan, on, talking about, he's got a brand new gig he's doing.
The Cro-Magnon podcast.
That's right. They're gonna.
I love the picture. If you haven't seen his little picture in iTunes, he looks like a big Cro-Magnon man with all these scars on. Or like, you know, that Twilight Zone episode called The Mask, where everybody's face gets distorted after wearing the masks. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, you know, it's very informative. It's very highly produced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some great content. It's funny.
And of course,
it's actually compelling. And that's the whole thing with a podcast. It needs to be compelling information. Because if you're going to sit down and try to have someone sit there for 5, 10, 20 minutes, and it's going to be video that needs to actually grab your time, uh-huh, it's got to be compelling.
Well, I think it's much better to go on for 30 minutes about like things that are just boring and tedious until people fall asleep on the keyboard. That's the way to go. I've seen plenty of podcasts that are like that. They just go on. They're 30
minutes. Especially the ones you
shows.
Download that are in high def that are 7,000 meg.
Yeah, it's like, I just, oh, man.
Wouldn't those guys be better, or anybody be better? You know, anybody. I'm not particularly saying anybody, any guys in particular, but... Wouldn't it be better to create smaller content, 3 to 5 minutes, and push it out more on a regular basis and actually create a 500 meg download that's in high def?
Yeah, people's attention span just isn't that long for this stuff. I mean, you really have to be tight and fast.
Unless you're a full geek and you're really into it. I mean, you know, I sort of did gig the stuff because it's, but I still have the attention span. You know, that's the problem is I fall asleep with all the stuff being played. So there's an issue there, is it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Your head crashes into the keyboard.
Yeah, I have dents in my Mac. PowerBook, not my PowerBook G4.
Yeah.
My PowerPC IBM processor running massive IBM killing monster. You know, dents in the keyboard from falling asleep watching these, you know, 7,000 meg high def podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is ridiculous. Yeah, they really do need to shorten it up. I mean if it just, to me, they're just too long. They're tedious. I think it's better to just go really short and quick. I mean, people's attention, especially if they're looking at an iPod screen, how long can you look at that thing? I mean, it needs to be in and out, you know, 3 minutes or less. That's what I think. In and out. Just go.
Yeah, you need to do, you know, like I said, it's all about compelling content. If it's not worth, that's the thing, you know, you can listen to an audio program, a podcast, and they can ramble on like we do for hours, okay? But you can still get work done. You can do other things. You can vacuum. You can work on the computer. You can do whatever you need to. You can iron. You can fold your clothes. You can make the bed. You can do whatever you need.
Yeah.
But if it's video, it commands your attention. It needs to be short, compelling. So there's your chief takeaway. If you're creating a video podcast, make it short and compelling. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now
at 800-490-0058.
Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Mac Update. You need to fix up your Mac, get the coolest software updates. Well, you can do that at MacUpdate.com. Get in, get out, quick, efficient. How fun can it be? MacUpdate.com. Right now we're here with Greg Benson from Mediocre Films, and we want to talk today. Greg does so many of these cool short films, but we want to sort of tell people and have Greg tell people how they can actually start figuring out if they want to do little shorts. You know, what's the whole process of... you know, creating like a script, you need to actually do something so you know what you're going to do. So how you doing, Greg?
I'm doing good. How's it going, brother?
Oh, very good. Very good, my man.
Hey, how's it going, Scott? Hey, Greg?
Hey, Scott, Brad. Scott, nice to Greg, see you guys.
Hey, yeah, there you go.
Thanks for having me back. First of all, I just got to say that since I was on last time, you know, the Mediocre Films podcast, you know, after my appearance on your last show, it really just jumped up into the top 100 comedy podcasts, and it's all thanks to you guys. And the response has been very, very positive. So thank you so much for your help there.
Well, hey, no problem. We love your stuff. It's cool. Now
about writing.
Yeah,
writing is a very mysterious thing for anybody, because I mean, you never really know when inspiration is going to strike. So the first thing that I should say, if you want to talk about writing, is it's important to always keep your mind open to ideas and always have something to write them down with. You know, pen and paper, or keep a tape recorder on you, something like that, which I always do. I just kind of don't go anywhere without them, because you never know when something's going to come to you. Certainly, some of my shorts ideas came to me in dreams. Like, I woke up laughing because I had dreamed the idea for the really simple short I have called Coming Home.
Oh, I love that short. That is hysterical.
It's a little one-joke thing, but it made me laugh in the middle of the night. And also, my latest, which I just added, it was called Swappin' Heads. That also was something that I woke up in the morning just kind of in half a daze, and I was thinking about. It's a spoof on these body-changing movies where, like the son and the father change positions and... that sort of thing.
Yeah, like Freaky Friday.
It's a spoof on that sort of a thing, and that's the latest addition to the podcast. I don't know if you've seen that yet, but that's it's a new short. It's premiered exclusively on the podcast, and it stars Adam Arkin of Chicago Hope, which is really cool.
That is cool. So I we're thinking about the writing deal, but maybe just the whole thing of the like you said, the thought process of, okay, I want to make a short. Someone says, okay, I want to make a movie. I got my $300 video camera here, and I got iMovie, and I want to go out and start, I want to shoot a little story. I want to tell something.
Right.
How do you even get started in that whole deal? I mean, how would someone actually sit down and say, okay, what do I start with, number A, B? How do I go across this whole process?
Well, obviously, the first thing you have to do is think about what type of movies appeal to you and watch a lot of films for inspiration for the types of films that you're interested in. For me, all I do is comedies. And so I'm constantly, watching and enjoying all kinds of stuff. I mean, if I can make a feature, if I could make something like Anchorman, something along those lines, it would make me extremely happy. That's one of the funniest movies I've seen in recent years. But so basically, you just start by deciding the type of film that you want. And honestly, even though I don't always write with a partner, I do sometimes write with partners. I find it's really helpful to bounce ideas off of a partner in brainstorming sessions. That's a really helpful way to get writing done.
Well, your wife also writes comedy, and so you guys are actually just this... I mean, I can imagine what your children will be like.
Well, I certainly hope that they're funny from the moment of inception. We haven't had any yet, but I hope so. Yeah. Kim and I co-wrote Mating Season, the one about the panda bears, and that's actually one of my favorite ones, and that came from just sitting... here's how we wrote that. I'll give you an example of how I'll come up with an idea. Kim had a picture of her parents wearing these two panda costumes that were actually made by Kim's aunt. And the panda costumes were so perfect. By the way, they were wearing the panda costumes for Halloween. It wasn't just an everyday thing. So the panda costumes were so funny, we asked if we could borrow them, and we put them on, and we wrote this sketch, which we originally performed live at the Acme Comedy Theater in L.A. We wrote this Mating Season sketch wearing the panda costumes, just to kind of get into character. And it went off so well that we ended up, converting it into a short film and making sort of a mockumentary about it.
So it's kind of like, getting yourself into the character derives a lot of the scripting. I mean, that's what
it certainly did for that one. I write in so many different ways. You never know how it's going to happen. And also, writers procrastinate, which I think is probably the reason why you may be bringing this whole thing up, because I think that you're a writer when you spend time, cleaning the house instead of writing. That's when you're really a writer. If you're blind.
You would rather go do gardening or wash the car than actually write.
So it helps to write with a partner, but I've found that it really helps when you are writing to just get out the first draft as quickly as possible. You have your idea, sit down, write it out, type it out, just get it out onto paper, and then go back. For me, this is what I do. I will go back and I'll do a couple of passes just to punch up the jokes. I'll do comedy passes. But I think it's better to just kind of get it out onto paper and then walk away from it. Sometimes I'll let it sit for a week or so, and then I'll come back to it, look at it with some fresh eyes, and and punch it up from there. I find that's a kind of a helpful thing to do. But it's been very helpful to me to perform, to write and perform comedy sketches live in a theater here, work them out in front of an audience, and then convert them into shorts. Several of my shorts started out as live sketches. Martha and Vladimir's Adventures in Space was another one that I co-wrote with Laura House.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. That's great.
Thanks. And it's also it's a fun thing to put yourself into situations where you have to write, where you're on a deadline. There are a number of 48-hour film festivals, things like Instant Films out here in L.A., but there are a number of them that are national that you can get involved in where you have to, you know, start writing at 7 p.m. on a Friday and then, you know, shoot shorts over the weekend. That's really putting the pressure on, but I find that a lot of people work well under pressure. I know that I do.
Mm.
That's the only way I work.
You are in full pressure all the time. Now, aren't you doing one? I think I was reading your news section of your website. Aren't you doing one this weekend?
This past weekend, actually. I did an instant film. Now, Instant Films is a thing out here in L.A., and people could check out instantfilms.com and give them a little plug there. It's a really cool, really cool place where writers are handed basically an adjective and a noun on Friday night, and they have to go and write an up to 8-page script on Friday night, hand it in Saturday morning, where a director is randomly assigned. Now, I've written for them before. The short that I wrote for them before is called Free Lunch. That's up on my website, which is mediocrefilms.com. So I wrote for them before. This time I directed one, so I was handed a script that I'd never seen before on Saturday morning, and I had to go and shoot it all day Saturday. I ended up getting a really violent, kind of bloody script, which was really fun to shoot. And I'd never, in any of my shorts, I'd never done anything violent. I'd never worked with blood before, but I managed to do some really fun, cool stuff. And that short is called Out of Line, and I'm very happy with the way that it came out. And it will premiere on the podcast next month in June. That one will pop up.
Cool. Greg, how do we get more information on your website and your podcast? We've got about 20 seconds.
Mediocrefilms.com, or just go to the iTunes music store and type in the search engine Mediocre Films, and you will find me.
Cool stuff. That was Greg Benson, Mediocre Films. You can check him out, like he said, at his website or on iTunes. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back with Sam Levin and his cool Mac picks.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by the official printers of the Inside Mac show, Printing for Less. You can check them out at printingforless.com. Very cool deal. Send any kind of file, they'll print it, get it out the door. Great stuff. True offset ink on paper, real printing. printingforless.com. Right now we're here with Sam Levin and his cool Mac picks. How are we doing, Sammy?
Fantastic. Speaking of printing, I need some business cards. Are they going to do my business cards?
That's right.
Fantastic. Excellent. I'm here in Irvine, Southern California, or the OC, and on my way up to E3, that's Electronic Entertainment Expo, tonight, and we're going to be looking at all the cool, cool new gizmos, handheld gizmos, electronic toys. Some of them actually, yes, do connect to the Mac, like, you know, the PSP and other kinds of cool things, and hand controllers and stuff like that from companies like Nyko, Logitech. I'm here, actually, in Irvine with MC Technologies, and there are friends, Arnie Ramirez, CEO of MCE. We all know and love, and, you know, MCE makes a number of different things for the Mac and PC. And Arnie, do you have anything to say to our listeners? Arnie says hello. check out MCE Technologies, MCE Technologies, or MCETech.com, and they started featuring memory for the first time in a while. That's some of their big push right now. Smoking deals for MacBook Pros, for iBooks, everything like that. Everyone knows who MCE Technologies are, Scott, of course, but we're going to do a little bit more stuff with them over the next 2 to 4 weeks. But stay in touch with us, because over the next week, we're going to feature E3 Expo. I'll be there today, tomorrow, and the next day, featuring a number of cool things for the Mac. And I think our listeners will like that, especially our technophile listeners and all these gaming junkies, which I'm one of them. I know, Scott, you have a PSP, correct?
I do. I wish I had time to turn it on.
Still in the box, right?
No, it's out of the box. It's in my Waterfield case. But I looked at the new battery charger for it the other day at Fry's, and I'm like, wow, that would be cool, because I could just take the extra battery, because I bought a spare battery, plug it in the charger and charge it. I'm like, dude, I haven't turned it on like in 6 months.
Hey, speaking of Waterfield shipped the first iPod Hi-Fi case.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I can say I had something to do with that. I actually worked with him on giving him some tips about designing it, and it's smoking. I'll show it to you, Scott. It's beautiful. I mean, it's the first one. It's true, typical, true-to-form Waterfield, all hand-stitched, all made in San Francisco. It's got a place padding for your iPod. You can put two iPods in there, cables, special place for the remote. You have access in the back to plug your AC cord. It's beautiful. Absolutely smoking. It's available right now if you go to sfbags.com. I love their stuff. Of course, we've been using Waterfield for years. I don't know who's the one I love better, Timbuktu or Waterfield. They're both just so good. But a lot of cool new stuff coming up. And by the way, Waterfield announced their MacBook Pro sleeves. So they now support the MacBook Pro since it's a little bit wider. I think it's 15.4-inch, correct?
I don't know. I'm still using a G4.
Well, they have a 17-inch MacBook Pro, so I'm sure you'll convert since you're a 17-inch guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been privy to that kind of fine hardware, so.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you'll soon migrate over there since that's the next thing. And
I don't know. I'm sort of at the point where it's like you have to pry that G5 or G4 from my cold, dead
face. it's just working too well. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm still not in this Intel gig. Those guys like took a big dive on their profits last deal, but
oh yeah, but the processors are good. I mean, and then you know, with Pro Tools migrating, you should be all fine.
Yeah, but their development process is weak. But hey, you know, that's all good. Sammy, thank you so much for your cool Mac picks. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister, Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. at www.digitalproductionbuzz.com. So, right now, we have a little interesting thing we want to talk about that's, a little off track, but it's the...
It's
the adventures of our technology food related issues in Las Vegas.
Yes.
You know, we spent 2 weeks in Vegas and we were on the hunt for the best lobster bisque in town.
And we found
lobster bisque is typically served at high end steakhouses.
Uh-huh.
Ruth Chris, Harris in San Francisco. You know, just I don't know, I guess seafood places too, but typically, $10 a bowl for soups,
Yeah.
Pretty spendy, I guess, depending on where you're from. In New York City, $10 is like a glass of water. But for a bowl of, soup.
Yeah.
It's a few bones.
Yeah.
But we were on the hunt.
And we tried about three different restaurants. Our first incarnation was we tried Ruth Chris, where they only serve it on two or three nights a week. And we struck out on that gig.
Dude, that was lame. And dinner cost you, dude. Dude, the cavity is still healing.
It wasn't so painful, brother. It was my wife that came back with that one. Like, you did what?
See, if people don't know, sometimes when we go out and we have a meal, Brad likes to try to hop out first and get that jacket.
Yeah. We were sitting across from David Lawrence, and so we had David Lawrence was there, Lily was there, and the guy from Mix Magazine was there.
Yeah, we had
people.
Yeah, there was nine of us.
There was nine of us.
It was fun.
And so it was a huge bill. It was a monster.
You know, but back to the lobster bisque, you know.
Yes.
We tried Ruth Chris. We tried the steakhouse at the Luxor. We tried somewhere else, I don't even know. But it came back to this place called House of Lords at the
Sahara. Yes, that was the amazing thing. It was $7 a bowl. They are like two stops up from the monorail from the convention center. And the place does take reservations. It's a small place, not really huge. And it's buried somewhere in the back of the Sahara. But the place has been there since the 50s. And I guess it's pretty famous. But the food is really, really good. And the lobster bisque was definitely worth the whole price of admission of going in there. It was
really good. I don't know what they put this croissant thing on.
It was just creamy smooth, and they had this little cooked croissant that they stuck in there that you could dip into the soup, and just the combination of the lobster bisque and that croissant was
and
just
no sleep and dude,
and no
it was
sleep
just
and
Vegas,
yeah nothing and
baby.
Shooting video all day and.
Restaurants full of cigarette smoke.
It just
all came together, man.
It was fantastic. I mean, that was definitely worth checking out. Definitely the place I'll be going back for quite a bit. I mean, the House of Lords was something not a lot of people know about, but was really one of the better deals. I mean, food in Vegas is not cheap anymore. It's like starting to rival San Francisco in prices.
Yeah, and it's junk.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, you're
every
not paying
food. Now, I had some Indian food at the convention center. Indian oven or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
Dude, it rocked.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else was garbage.
Yeah.
Just straight up puke, dude. Worse than the county fair after 36 beers, dude. It was nasty.
No, I thought it was very surprising that how food had really, you know, how the prices had gone up and the quality had really gone south. That's one thing it's you know, probably going to be hurting Vegas's image for a while is that their prices are so high on hotels and the prices are so high on food that, you know, you're just showing up. I mean, you're going to lose a lot of money. You don't have to get to the gambling table. You're going to burn all your money just showing up. And so, it is a lot more expensive than it used to be going there. And I hope they turn it around a little bit soon, build some more hotels, get the prices down and Vegas will be back in business.
Yeah, I don't know. It's turning more of a destination now. You know, it's a place to go, and they've just everything's just cranked up through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the economical deal. You know, they want you to come to town, spend your money, gamble, and do all that kind of stuff. But, you know, a lot of people come there now and don't gamble, and it's turned into this deal that's just, I don't know.
I'd rather be in Hawaii or a lot of places that cost the
same.
Dude,
I'd rather be
nicer.
In Memphis, Tennessee, eating barbecue at the commissary in Germantown,
yeah.
Brother. I can tell you that. Better food than anything in Vegas. Okay, that's done with our food rant. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell. So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by American Photo Magazine and Popular Photography and Imazine Magazine. You can check them out at popphoto.com and americanphoto.com, our exclusive media partners for the world of digital imaging. Right now we have Deke McClellan on. Deke is one of the leaders, is the king of Photoshop. But He has a new adventure that we're going to talk about. It's called Deke Pod. How you doing, Deke?
Good. How about you, Scott?
Good, man. So tell us, you got a new gig going. What is this Deke Pod deal, man? You're a book dude.
It's a new little podcast that's very short, actually, and very direct, very to the point. We're trying to create something that you're going to watch all the way through. I find myself sort of drifting through podcasts, especially video podcasts.
You mean those 30-minute long video podcasts that just go, the 30-minute long video podcasts that just go on and on? You find that boring?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily that I find it boring, because a lot of my buddies are involved in ventures exactly like that. But
really?
You know, I do find myself skipping around a little bit to be gentle there. And I wanted to create something that just kind of snagged your attention and didn't let you go for, you know, just for a good 5 minutes. And, you know, hopefully it feels like more like 2 or 3 minutes by the time you're done.
Well, no, I mean, it's compelling content. And I think we've discussed this before that, 100 meg downloads of the variety show isn't compelling content when there's like 30 seconds worth of tip.
Yeah.
And 100 meg were the garbage.
Just garbage yapping and all that stuff. I mean,
now if it's, you know, I could see if French Made TV was 30 minutes long, I bet you it's worth watching, okay?
I like Varsity Spirit, but then that's only a couple of minutes long.
Well, no, we keep those things to like 5 minutes. I mean, these are just, you know, you got to, if you're going to draw someone's attention in, it better be good.
Well, you know what's funny about that, Scott? You mentioned French Made TV, and for us, me and these guys over at Flying Moose Pictures, the guys who produce the podcast, that was actually the podcast that we were trying to figure out how we could emulate. Because not only is this, you know, there's that sort of tawdry, wonderful tawdry element to French Made TV, but there's also, it's amazingly well produced. And so we wanted something that, you know, we weren't going to have, you know, I'm not going to develop a cleavage or anything like that overnight, but we wanted to come up with something that was, that seized you like that just sort of kept you going throughout the entire thing, and it was that watchable.
Well, your Cro-Magnon graphic on your logo.
That's just you without makeup, right? That's just before they start applying the makeup.
That's actually me as a prisoner. That slide appears just for a moment inside the middle of the podcast. And it's me as a rough prisoner type there.
Yeah, it's very compelling.
I just love it because you're very funny in this. I mean, it's just like the comedy is good, just the timing is good, and you got a lot of cool stock footage that you shoot through on your podcast. Lots of cutaways. It's great.
Let's talk about the podcast, okay?
Okay.
You guys, let's say you come up with an idea before, and I think the first idea was very cool, the pilot edition.
Right.
We're not going to tell them, but you know, it's your money, brother. So, how long does it? Did it take you to sit down with first the concept and what you want to do, and then secondary, how long did it take the Flying Cats, Flying Moose?
Yeah, Flying Moose Pictures, yeah.
The Flying Moose guys here in the city, how long did it take them to actually produce this thing? How much time you got in this podcast? And now it's 5 minutes long.
Yeah, we spent an extraordinary amount of time on that. What happened is I went out to meet these guys, because, I mean, it was just cold. We had just talked on the phone a few times.
Did they approach you, or did you come looking for them?
I looked for them. I actually looked for them, and I found them at a Macworld. And but I actually, Steve Weiss, you know Steve over at O'Reilly, he had actually snagged these guys. And so I just talked to him on the phone a few times. We'd come up, you know, it sounded like a good match. And I had been talking to some other people too. But anyway, I went out to San Francisco where those guys are based, and I met with them. And we had decided that I had about 5 hours that I could spend in their studios, and then I had to catch a plane. And we had decided that we could probably do like a 30-second little test just to see if things were going to work out. So I get there, I have this thing outlined, the money concept, and then they're like, well, you know, we talk it through. They show me a few things they're thinking, and, you know, some of the stuff, you know, they're thinking about this sort of, you know, putting these images in for just sort of, you know, just to hype up the irony and the humor a little bit. Then they say, well, can you just go ahead and script this out and memorize it, and we'll shoot you. So what ended up happening is I actually did it, and in just enough time. I was almost late for the plane, almost missed it. But we ended up filming the thing. I think I scripted it and did it in about 2 hours. And then they spent several weeks actually going through and doing the editing. And we kind of had a few passes at it. because we were just, you know, we were trying to figure out when we should put it up there, the whole number, you know, all that stuff you go through when you're trying to figure out how to release a podcast.
Right.
Well, the second one's going to be a lot easier than the first, I'll tell you that much.
Well, it better be, because otherwise there ain't going to be no third one. It was a lot of work, but, you know, just for 5 minutes, it was an amazing amount of work.
Yeah, it can be. You know, a lot of it is just to get your, well, you get your workflow, your timing, and familiar with it. I mean, it is a job. I can't believe how many videos we've put out. It's like 7,000 Inside Mac TV segments already. I don't know what it is.
I don't know, but video takes a lot huge. More work than audio.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, and for me, I've had a lot of experience with teleprompting and, you know, just sort of talking off the cuff in front of people and stuff like that, but I have very limited experience with sitting down and memorizing a piece, and especially with writing it, memorizing, and then doing it in 2 hours. I'm just doing the whole shebang. And so it was pretty tough. It's divided into about 7 segments inside that 5 minutes. And so what I did is I sat there and memorized each one of those, you know, each one of the 7 at a time. Because otherwise, you know, the idea of getting through the entire thing in one fell swoop was just absolutely beyond my ability. So, and we also wanted to keep up, there's sort of an intensity to the podcast where there's this really fast pace to it. And so we wanted to, it wasn't just a matter of me memorizing the lines, but I had to be comfortable with the lines at a really rapid pace. And so that was another, you know, sort of tough thing to do. But that, so, because they kept needling me, you know, I ultimately did it.
So how's the response been from DeekPod?
You know, it's been fantastic. I was hoping... I was hoping to get maybe 5,000 downloads in the first week. That's kind of like this number that we came up with, and we figured if we made that, then we were successful. Yesterday morning, we had come up with 60,000 downloads. So we're 12 times what we anticipated. It's been entirely our iTunes ranking is just kind of middling, but that's because about 90% of it's gone through the O'Reilly site, which I couldn't even tell you the URL for. So it's just this really long URL. But basically, you can just, if you just do like a Google or Yahoo search for DeekPod, it comes right up. But it's been completely a blogging event. I mean, we've been picked up. We were picked up by Boing Boing, and after that, it just, you know, it went through the ceiling. So that's been really, really fortunate. And we seem to, you know, we're getting positive responses, too. Everything that I've seen so far is positive. And just today, iStock, one of the sponsors is iStockPhoto.com, and they just put it on their site, I believe, today. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, so you got your first sponsor.
We got one sponsor. Actually, I have two, because the other one's O'Reilly, but that's my publisher. But right. And they threw a little bit into the pot as well to get it done. But yeah, I mean, if you go to iTunes, you just enter Deek, you know, which is D-E-K-E, or you can just enter DeekPod, which is just Deek and Pod run together, and right. Either one of those will take you to it.
Well, that's
yeah,
cool.
So what kind of things do you have planned for the next one? You are thinking about doing the next one?
Yeah, actually, I just we're just now putting together plans for the next 6, and When I'm advocating that the first real episode we do, because this is the pilot, right? The first real episode we do would be called Bringing Back the Dead, and the idea is how to bring back your ancestors into current photos inside Photoshop.
Oh, you could place dead relatives in with the rest of the family in a
exactly.
family photo.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of the conceit, and the idea is I really like this idea because it's a little bit. It's not only kind of a sensational idea, but it's also, I think it's just really keen to be able to put together a family photo, and maybe you've got a loved one that didn't die too long ago and you wish they were still with you, or maybe they're from, you know, a long time ago. It doesn't really matter when they died, but you'd like to have them as part, you still think of them as being part of the family unit. So how to bring them into a sort of a picture of a group of you and add, you know, this ancestor along with. And you know, I think... there's a lot of people I'd like to do it with, and that's kind of one of the things that intrigues me is I'd like to try it myself. So, and then a few other things: how to open people's eyes, how to, you know, we've got one that's called Captain Kirk Loves You, which is basically how to create that wonderful effect where, you know, when the when a new woman in Captain Kirk's life enters the picture, they were always kind of glowy and diffused.
Yeah, that was every week. Yeah. I mean, that guy was, it's like, what's with these Americans traveling around space? What's up with this?
Yeah, so I want every one of these, I want to be kind of a really core, cool topic that, you know, is a little outside the normal Photoshop boundaries, because I really want to excite an audience that's larger than the standard Photoshop user. And it won't always be about Photoshop, but that's probably where we'll...
Hey, Deke, we're coming to a break. Hold on a sec, brother. We're going to grab him on the back end. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Deke McClellan. We'll be right back.
Are you a real estate agent? Then listen up. I've got something for you. NewHomePodcast.com. It's an exciting new way to reach an audience of home buyers that really understand technology and are fascinated with the new podcasts that are springing up everywhere. Now imagine having a dedicated, rabid audience that is in the market to buy or sell a home and wants every edge in getting the latest information. Maybe they're relocating to your area, maybe they're upgrading or downsizing, maybe they're first-time home buyers that are brand new to the process. Well, you can be their guide. And do so with professionally produced, up-to-the-minute podcasts that are delivered automatically to their computers and iPods. And that means sales for you. We make it simple. We do all the online setup, all the production, all the delivery of the podcast. All you have to do when you want to do an episode is make a phone call. Now, we do this on a zip code exclusive basis, and zip codes are going fast. So go to the website to see if your area is still available. It's newhomepodcast.com. That's newhomepodcast.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by OSX FAQ, the place to get all the cool tips for your Macintosh, Mac OS X, design tips, information, Apple developer information, you name it, news, software updates, everything's there you need. Check it out, OSXFAQ.com. Right now we're here with Deke McClellan, the man from DeekPod. And we've been talking about his brand new podcast. Now, tell us about what else is Deke is up to here. I mean, there's a couple of gigs coming up. Where are you going to be next time where people can actually come see you instruct live in the wonderful world of graphic design and Photoshop?
Well, actually, this evening I have to catch a plane to New York, and where NAP, you know, National Association of Photoshop Professionals, is doing an event, a week-long event called Macintosh Live. Or Mac Live, I forget, one of those. And so right now I'm working on the silliest project. I need to do sort of a little technique at the keynote. And so I'm trying to figure out, you know how when you point your fingers at each other, you hold your index fingers up and you bring them really close to your face so you have that floating finger between your fingers, you know that thing?
Yep.
I'm trying to figure out how to do that in Photoshop. I'm trying to figure out how to make that happen in Photoshop because I thought it'd be like a really cool technique, a really cool gag. And I'm having a heck of a time making it happen right now, but I think I'm on the verge of some clarity here. It's not. I thought it'd just be a straight opacity effect, but it's much more difficult than that.
You'll figure it out. Now, what's the difference in this Mac Live gig than just a regular Photoshop world? It's just Photoshop world with a new name, or is it different?
No, it's actually an expansion of topics in general, so it's not... It's not only Photoshop, but so Photoshop will probably be like some fragment of this event, like about a sixth of the event. There's a lot of general Macintosh stuff. There's people like David Pogue and Bob Levitis and those guys who do, you know, straight Macintosh training. And then there'll be a bunch of us who do a bunch of Adobe training, so that they cover a bunch of Adobe products. And I think there might even be a Flash thing. And I know Janine Warner is doing Dreamweaver. So there's a lot of different stuff going on. So it covers both the sort of the Macintosh crowd and the design crowd.
I guess it should be called Adobe Live.
Yeah,
it's mostly
you know, maybe
Adobe.
Maybe next time it will be, for all I know. But yeah, this time around they're calling it Mac Live.
Followed by Aperture World.
Yeah, that'd catch on.
Whoa, that's cool. So your book. We got a couple minutes left here. Tell me where we can get your book and the rest of the information about what Deke's up to.
Well, my books are actually the best place to find out what I'm up to is just Deke.com, so Deke.com. And I do a series of books under the that are all one-on-one books. There's Photoshop CS2 101, InDesign CS2 101. There's Photoshop Elements 4 101. They're all under Deke Press, and they're available through O'Reilly. And then, of course, I do a series of training videos, big, hefty, meaty training videos for Total Training. And that's at TotalTraining.com.
Well, that's cool stuff. Hey, Deke, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, gosh, my pleasure. And, yeah, and definitely, you know, if you're listening and you get a chance, definitely check out Deke Pod. I really want you to see it.
Oh, no, it's definitely cool stuff, and our listeners should go check it out, too, because it rocks. Very cool. It's actually compelling Photoshop content.
Yeah. Wish everybody else would do it that way.
That's it.
Well, hopefully nobody else will.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, buddy. We'll
All
talk
right,
to you soon.
You, Scott.
Okay, cool
okay,
stuff
bye,
there.
Bye, guys.
Deke
yeah.
McClellan, king of Photoshop. Cool podcast.
Yeah, very cool.
Very cool, compelling you know, content. I'd like to thank the guests of the Inside Mac Radio Show today. We had Derek Story talking about Aperture. Philip Hodges doing the digital production Buzz Nude. We had Andy Shallow doing the Mac Design Out of the Box Tip. Of course, we had Sam Levin doing some kind of Mac picks. And then we had Greg Benson from Mediocre Films talking about what you sort of need to think about when you're going to want to put together your own little short film. Make it on the Mac. You know, iMovie's free, so there's no excuse. Just get after it and do it. And, of course, we just had Deke McClellan. You've been here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. I'd like to thank the sponsors of the Inside Mac radio program. We have Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, and our media partners, Popular Photography Magazine, American Photo Magazine, Creative Pro, Printing for Less, Mac Update, and the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You can find out more information at www.insidemacradio.com. I've been your host, Scott Shepherd, and you've been here with Brad Wright. We'll see you next week with more great stuff about your Mac.